address Anne DeMichael. A year or two ago, I went to speak and we were outside, my papers blew away. And you told me, that's why you put them in a loose leaf binder, so I want you to see. I did it. So today my talk is going to be about my story. But before I tell you about my story, I need to tell you about a story that I feel kind of coincides with my story. In the year 79 AD, there was a very beautiful town at the shadow side of Mount Vesuvius in Italy, which is south of Rome. It was about 15,000 people that lived there, and they were Romans, and they lived well. They had a Colosseum for chariot races. They had plenty of fish because they were in the Mediterranean. They had wheat. They were doing well. And then one day, Mount Vesuvius, which was an active volcano, erupted. And for a full day, Pompeii, as you've heard, Pompeii was inundated with ash and pumice. And the gases that came out of that Mount Vesuvius really decimated. They were covered, and Pompeii was not discovered for another 1,500 years. That's how much ash and pumice and rock came out. And a lot of people were buried because these people were not aware of what in the world is an active volcano. And the wind happened to be blowing west, so they got inundated with all of this. So what's that got to do with me? Well, this past summer would have been my 79th birthday. And one morning I woke up in early July. I couldn't get the bedspread off of me. And I said, well, what is this? And then I noticed I couldn't lift my legs to step out of the bed. I had to slide off the end. I stood up and, oh my God, every joint was aching and stiff as a board. I didn't know what was going on. So I kind of crept around in the house and I got some Tylenol, took a shower to hopefully loosen up the joints. And by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it felt better. But bloody well, the next day, I woke up feeling the same way. So I didn't know what was happening. I went to Sentara Lee to the walk-in, and the next they gave me some pills that kind of eased the discomfort. And the next day I got a call saying, well, it looks like you have an autoimmune disease. We're going to refer you to rheumatology. Well, okay, fine. Meanwhile, the pills were working. I was back to moving ahead movement again. But this was in the 1st of July, before the 4th of July. Rheumatology appointment was late October. Well, this is the way it's going now, folks, in this area, right? So I was dealing with the pills, but the aching and the stiffness was continuing. And then I started getting a fear factor. What's going on in my body temple? I got scared. And what I realized, fear, as we know, is false energy appearing real. I was walking around feeling very frightful. Is this lupus? Is it MS? Is it muscular dystrophy? Is it some kind of arthritis that was settling in? After all, it is my 79th year, so I don't know. I got scared. And then one morning, I got up and I was creeping around. It was so bad I had to get my walker out of the garage that I used when I had knee replacement back in 2018. That's how bad and debilitating this thing was. One day, I had a peace that came upon me. It didn't come to me, it came through me. But it's what you call that peace of understanding. You just don't understand where the peace came from. It passed understanding because I was flooded with this peace. And I said, or something said, I don't know if I said it, but I embodied, whatever this is, I'll deal with it. I knew that for sure. I'll deal with it. And then after that, I fell into this consciousness of gratitude. What was I grateful for? I was grateful that I had 78 wondrous, glorious years. So I knew that regardless of what this was, I'm so thankful for what I've had. And I stayed in that consciousness. But wait a minute, I'm in the middle of a personal crisis. Where did that sense of gratitude and peace come from? How in heck am I feeling that when I don't know if I got any one of these diseases? I gotta wait 3 months to find out what's going on. Something is happening and I can't live off a pill. So therefore, where am I feeling grateful and where am I feeling this sense of peace? Okay, so I wanna show you my Sankofa bird. Sankofa is an African word from the Twi language. Too bad Sam is not here to make sure I got that word right, because it's from Ghana. The literal translation of the word is taking from the past what is good and bringing it into the present to make progress in the future, okay? But a lot of us folks, and I got this from Los Angeles, we say, to know where you're going, you first must know where you're coming from. So I decided I gotta take this gratitude and this attitude that I had, this sense of this consciousness, I gotta take it to meditation because I didn't know where it came from. And it was so mind-blowing for me that in the middle of a crisis, I'm feeling this. So I went into my meditation and what came to mind for me was practitioner training. Now, some of you may not know what that is, but I'll tell you. In 1997, I became a licensed practitioner, Science of Mind, under Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith at Agape International Spiritual Center. So I've been practicing as a practitioner since that time, and it's, what, 26, 27 years. But as I became a practitioner, I kept, I'm an older woman. I keep paper. Everybody's on file, but I got paper. I got two trees of paper in my file cabinet, I'm sure. Okay? So I started going through these papers, and I pulled out things that were reminding me, where did this thing, this consciousness of gratitude start coming from? And I pulled out three or four papers, but I won't bore you with all of them. I said, let me select one that I'll read to you. And this paper is a thought paper that I wrote called Healing Power of Real Moments. I wrote it for a class when I was taking prac training, January 9th of 1997. And I want to share that paper with you because I think it helps, it helped me, since this is my story, it helped me get, where did that foundation of gratitude come from when I'm in the middle of a crisis? So here it is. And it's written the way I wrote then, okay? A real moment occurs when one is consciously and completely experiencing where they are, what they are engaging in at that moment, and how they feel about what they are doing. Paying attention to what is transpiring can be challenging. We are often thinking of yesterday or tomorrow when performing mundane tasks, and unless it is absolutely necessary when engaging in conversations, our minds are in other places. I notice when I'm at work, I will speak on the telephone while continuing to do whatever I was doing before the telephone conversation began. Being conscious of the moment means to me paying attention. Paying attention means slowing down, controlling my type A personality so I can really be in the moment. Another aspect of a real moment is being able to feel the connectedness to something or someone, to feel the energy exchange which defies boundaries. For me, that is a real moment, being at one with the infinite. Feeling connected in the now means giving up thoughts of past and future. It means chancing the pure excitement of the moment wherever it may be. To accomplish a real moment means to surrender into whatever I am experiencing, surrender all thoughts and feelings to the moment, to relinquish control of the situation and just be. This is difficult at best, but obtainable. For me, the key is to want to be consciously aware of myself and my relationship in the universe. Experiencing real moments means relinquishing emotional attachments that represents pain and suffering. It means allowing life to unfold as it chooses without needing to control the outcome. It means being at peace with myself no matter what appears to be happening. The rewards from experiencing real moments are many, and the healing power of the experience can be beneficial to the soul as well as the psychic. The ability to live in the now relieves me of the stress of yesterday and of the worry about tomorrow. To live in the consciousness of God is to experience a real moment. So, I think from reading that paper written back in 1997, I was beginning to practice the presence. So, what does practicing the presence mean? Expanded consciousness, and I saw that from the paper I wrote. My consciousness was expanding. Patience, it means everything is in divine order. We just have to allow it to flow naturally. Practicing forgiveness, that's a biggie. But letting go and letting God so I can move on and not carry that rock on my back. Whole soul surrender to your spiritual practice reinforces spiritual maturity, discernment, and self-discipline. Problem solved through an expanded awareness, not from the level of the problem. Now, I know whatever's happening with me, I can't get caught up in an autoimmune dis-ease. I have to stay in the higher consciousness. I kick that up to the upper room, and that's where I'm going to hang out. Practicing the presence means fellowship with like-minded people. All of us here, that's why we come. It means living in a consciousness of gratitude. One of the unexpected spiritual benefits of gratitude is that it can make us feel more connected to each other and to the world. It gives us a fresh perspective on our lives, allowing us to find the blessing in every situation and realize that life is happening for us and not to us. That's a challenge. An example of what I'm grateful for, I have to tell you, freeway experience here. And I'll tell you which one. I'm a Californian, 40 years. You know I drive freeways. But here, driving on a freeway and you want to exit, there's always somebody that's getting on, and I'm always anxious when I want to get over to get off and you have a short span for somebody else that wants to get on. I always pray when I'm getting ready to exit because there's always somebody that's coming. And you know, when I get through, whatever that may be, I am so very grateful. But I got to give you now, and I don't know when it happened, but when I go to get off, there's never anything coming. I've been practicing an attitude of gratitude. And when you're practicing gratitude, you're giving thanksgiving for something, and before you know it, you are gifted with it before you even know you need it. And this is my experience because this is my story, but I'm sharing it with you because when I go to get off, and when I go to merge on, there's nothing there. I always have room, and I'm always giving thank you, God, and I do it triple times. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Spirit. Yeah, I want to make sure that I got it in my DNA, that I'm grateful, and this gratitude just keeps opening up and allows more good to flow forth before I even know I need it. I live in a safe community. I'm grateful for that. I don't have to have ADT. I mean, it's good. When I enter my home in the winter, the heat's on, and I am so grateful for that. And when I go in the summer, I'm grateful for the AC. I mean, I take it down to the little things. It doesn't have to be a big thing. I bless every meal I eat. So the food is a perfect ingestion, circulation, and elimination. That's, I'm grateful. Don't forget, I'm 79. I'm grateful, okay? I'm grateful for financial and physical health. I'm claiming physical health. I don't care what rheumatologist is going to say. I'm grateful that when I fall in judgment, which is my Achilles heel, that I right away I'm snapped out of it because I'm practicing a sense of gratitude. I mean, there but for the grace of I when I'm judging, so I got to step away from it. I don't want to carry that. I'm grateful my car runs when I start the button. I'm grateful I can fill up my tank regardless to what inflation. I don't pay attention to what they're talking about, inflation, recession. God's got my back. I know that when I go, I fill my tank up and whatever it is, I put the card in, and when the bill comes, I pay it. I don't know where it comes from, but it's there, and I do it. That's what I'm practicing. And one of the things I'm really grateful for is I got a United States passport. So that wherever I go, whatever I'm doing, I am grateful that I am a citizen of these United States. I am not saying that everything is great. I am a woman of color, if you don't know. But I do know that I am grateful, no matter what our challenges are here, to be a citizen of this United States. How does gratitude, oh, I forgot, and my parents. I'm so glad my father left Alabama and my mother left Florida during the Great Migration, because I got to go to school in New York and not in a Southern school. So I am grateful for that, I'm telling you. So how does gratitude practice help me? It releases negative emotions by redirecting my focus from what is going wrong to what is going right. It trains my heart and mind to notice abundance instead of lack. And there is so much around us. I mean, just the universe is full of it. It awakens my soul as I recognize divine source of the countless gifts in my life. Like I said, just the heat when I go in. If it's cold outside, it's nice to walk into a warm place. It offers a new perspective, a way of seeing the world with an awareness of the magnificent blessings that surround us every day. And I have a practice of consciousness of gratitude, and I see it all the time, and I am so grateful. It's also known to have physical benefits when you're practicing gratitude. It lowers the blood pressure, and it promotes better sleep habits, and it says also promotes better relationships with people. The important thing is find your own spiritual practice of the presence and develop your consciousness of gratitude. There is so much to be grateful for in this world. I wake up, there are no bombs going off down the street. I don't have a water. I turn the faucet on, the water is there. I'm not worried about things happening that I have no control over out there. I mean, we live in a safe environment. This is our United States of America. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I'm not in Ukraine or in Sudan or somewhere in North Africa, or I'm not at the border trying to get in. There's a lot to be grateful for. So what do I suggest? Use a gratitude journal or use prayer beads. And you can use prayer beads. These are 33 prayer beads. You could try going around 33, 66 times, and for each bead, be grateful for something. That's work. That's work, because we don't think like that. But you know what? As I sit in my quiet time and I'm thankful for something on each bead, and I get halfway through and I have to dig deeper, and before you know it, I'm halfway around the second time and I got to keep going deeper. But you know what? It helps me open up that gland, expand that consciousness, so that my gratitude is just the simplest thing that I feel grateful for. I go and I do Tai Chi at the Botanical Garden on Friday. If it's 45 degrees, I don't go, but anything over 45, I go. Do you know how wonderful it is to do stretching and slow moving and be in a state of meditation while you're under the blue sky and the trees and the air? I am so grateful, just grateful. I am coming to my end here, but I want to say you can use prompts. You can be grateful for three things. I think three is good, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. So three things. You can be grateful for what you hear or smell or taste, family, friends, situations. There's a list. The list is endless of things that you can practice gratitude on. I have a couple of quotes about gratitude from some people that you may recognize. And I'll start with Deepak Chopra, what he has to say. Gratitude opens the door to the power, the wisdom, the creativity of the universe. Be happy for no reason, like a child. If you're happy for a reason, you're in trouble, because that reason can be taken away from you. Maya Angelou said, "The ship of my life may or may not be sailing on calm and amiable seas. The challenging days of my existence may or may not be bright and promising. Stormy or sunny days, glorious or lonely nights, I maintain an attitude of gratitude. If I insist on being pessimistic, there is always tomorrow. Today, I am blessed." Meister Eckhart says, "If the only prayer you say in your life is thank you, that would suffice." Okay? Thich Nhat Hanh, "With all I have experienced in my life, the power of gratitude stands above everything else. In your mindfulness practice, use gratitude until it becomes your way of life." I would say that when I'm living with gratitude, I am going through life holding God's hand. I say, when we open our hearts to gratitude, the light of grace always follows. This I know for sure. Epilogue to the story. Every book has a great epilogue, right? So I got an epilogue. The rheumatologist diagnosed me with something called polymyalgia rheumatica, or PMR. The Mount Vesuvius eruption was my immune system flooding my body with high levels of inflammation, resulting in joint stiffness and muscle pain. Muscle pain, I'm gonna tell you, it weakens you. It usually occurs in people over 70. Hence, there are no studies and there's no cure. Can last a year or more, or just disappear on its own. The only effective treatment to manage the discomfort is steroids. Today, I am grateful for steroids, and I'm grateful to you for letting me tell my story. So let's have meditation. So for meditation, we're ready? Okay. So just get comfortable in your seat, relax, let your hands rest on your thighs, your feet on the floor. Close your eyes and just take a breath or two and just be grateful that we are here today celebrating the day in this magnificent sanctuary. And since this talk was on gratitude, go into that quiet space within your heart and your mind and think of three things, three situations, three people that you are grateful for. And just be still and feel that sense of gratitude. Let it wash over you.
Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of